Today I will be reading Luke 2, 6 through 15. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there were no lodging available for them. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. You will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger." Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated. We're going to start with a video. If you crank up that music a little bit, let's watch this opening video. Good morning, Living Water Church. It's just wonderful to see everybody here. Last week we were just so sparse, and so it's nice to see several faces to be able to talk to this morning. What a blessing to be in God's house. Last week we started Advent by looking at how Jesus coming to this earth brought hope then, 2,000 years ago, and it brings hope today as we look towards his second coming. Well, today we're continuing our series, God With Us, as we look at this subject of peace. If you were listening to the children's message, you probably guessed that by now. So the idea of peace kind of goes with Christmas. I mean, the opposite of peace is the idea of war, right? You know, images of Christmas and war don't easily fit together in our minds. They're just opposite. The cold, cruel reality of war seems about as far as you can get from the warm generosity of the holiday season. The pain and suffering of battle contradict the joy and celebration of Christmas. But for those who fought in World War I, Christmas arrived right in the midst of the intense global battle. Life in the trenches was brutal and it was gruesome, as you probably have seen in the war movies and the pictures. New technologies such as tanks and mustard gas had advanced military capabilities to kill even more efficiently and painfully. But against that terrible backdrop, individuals chose peace. Early in the war, during December of 1914, many German and British soldiers took peace into their own hands. On Christmas Eve, they sang and played carols to each other across the destroyed no man's land. Finding that they knew the songs, that they were the same carols to each other, but just sang it in different languages. The lyrics were a little different. And so early on Christmas Day, German soldiers walked across the scarred landscape, unarmed, shouting Merry Christmas to their enemies. Allied soldiers, a little bit distrustful at first, crawled out of their trenches and joined them, shaking hands, exchanging gifts of cigarettes and plum pudding, and they sang Christmas carols together. History.com says that there was even a documented game of soccer during the unofficial ceasefire. They called it the Christmas truce, and it was never repeated. Unfortunately, the officers made sure of it by threatening punishments. But on that special day, enemies played shared humanity before their grievances. They put that humanity first and experienced the Christmas spirit of peace in a truly powerful way. I mean, could you just imagine that scene happening? I mean, it just kind of boggles the mind that it even was possible. That must have been just quite something to behold. Enemies sharing peace at Christmas. Well, in a similar way, God's peace can fill us and rule us within, even as we're surrounded by death and various kinds of evil. God's presence and peace can pierce even dark and painful surroundings and circumstances, including any war or our emotional valleys that we find ourselves in. Now, Christmas is typically and rightfully thought of as a season of joy. But for some people, it can actually be a rather painful season. Maybe one of you are someone like that. Well, so what battles do you face today? What pain is relentlessly bombarding you as you are bunkered down in the trenches of life? What darkness haunts you even under the twinkling lights and candles and decorations? We may not be able to end the personal, emotional, political, or physical wars that we're fighting this holiday season. But even in those darkest places, we can lean into the God who is with us. Today, as we continue our Advent journey toward Christmas, we are focusing on and celebrating peace. The peace that was brought into this world by Emmanuel, God with us. My hope is that today each of us will experience the comfort of Christ's peace deep within our souls. As a reminder, the word Advent, it means coming, means arrival, and the season is just marked with expectation and waiting, anticipating and longing. Advent, it's not just an extension of Christmas, it's a season, and it links the past and the present and the future. Advent offers us the opportunity to share in the ancient longing for the coming of the Messiah, and then to celebrate His birth of His coming, and then to be alert for His second coming. Advent looks back in celebration at the hope fulfilled in Jesus Christ first coming to this earth, while at the same time looking forward in hopeful and eager anticipation of His coming of Christ's kingdom when He returns for His people. So during Advent, we wait for both. It's an active, assured, and hopeful waiting. And each week we focus on a different attribute of God represented in the coming of Jesus. Hope, peace, joy, and love. Because Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. He is the embodiment of these traits, who has entered our world and who fills us with all of them. And so as you think about that scripture passage that was just read, and the shepherds in the Christmas story, you know, these shepherds, they often get a kind of a bad rap. They're represented as outcasts, a dirty, unruly group that were just at the very bottom rung of society. And while they definitely held a lower place, not all scholars believe that they were so unrespectable. In fact, shepherds at one point held very high positions in Israel's history. I mean, faithful Jews would have known the stories of the patriarchs of their faith who were shepherds. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and even young David, before he became King David, of whom Jesus was a direct descendant, they were all shepherds. But whether or not shepherds in Jesus' day were at the lowest of all the possible professions one could choose, the profession had undoubtedly fallen in esteem since the days of the patriarchs. They were definitely considered in that lower class society. They held a menial vocation that involved hard labor out in the elements and physical work with animals. I mean, dirty, stinky, stubborn, frustrating animals. It's safe to say a shepherd wasn't exactly what moms dreamed their boys would grow up to be. They were a pretty lowly bunch. And at the other end of the spectrum in Israel were the religious leaders of the day. Smug in their moral goodness and high positions of power, they made sure everybody else knew their place in the caste system. Pharisees and Sadducees and the like at the top. Everyone else down below in descending order. And they kept themselves lifted up by putting other people down. They believed they were the ones with a direct line to God and His purpose for everyone else's lives. And so in this hierarchy, shepherds weren't exactly accustomed to being contacted by angelic beings. You know, they didn't expect direct messages from God from these celestial representatives of light. So just imagine in that scene their surprise on that star-filled night on the outskirts of Bethlehem when the brightest star in the sky dimmed and then the whole dark expanse began to glow with the brilliant light of the angel of the Lord. Olivia just read this passage for us, but I want us to hear it again. And I'll just kind of break it down a little bit for us as we go through it. Where it says, that night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them, and they were terrified. That probably is an understatement right there. I mean, what is going on here? And then, as the sight of the angel wasn't enough, the glowing guy spoke to them, to the shepherds of all people. But the angel assured them, "Don't be afraid." He said, "I bring you good news that will be great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, He's been born in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize Him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Unbelievable. But wait, there's more, literally more, as in more angels, as the army shows up. Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." What a scene to imagine. You know, the words were almost more unbelievable than the messengers themselves. The angels were making a proclamation of peace to those on whom God's favor rests, and they were saying these words to shepherds. Can you imagine the confusion and doubts that were probably going through these shepherds' heads? "Wait, I think you guys got the wrong people." But angels don't make mistakes, so I guess that's us. I guess God's favor is on us, and His peace is with us. Seriously? And while we're on this subject of wondering what might have been going through the shepherds' heads as they were seeing this whole angelic appearance, have you ever wondered what the sheep were doing during this whole time? I mean, granted, sheep kind of have a reputation for not being fairly intelligent, but it's unlikely they didn't notice the bright light and loud noises. And while they aren't exactly racehorses, spook sheep can run pretty fast. It seems realistic that all those little white, you know, woolly ones might have bolted during that heavenly announcement. Not exactly a peaceful scene on that hillside. But the Bible doesn't tell us these details. Perhaps it was chaos. Or perhaps the sheep were just kind of dazed and motionless. Or perhaps the sheep's response really is irrelevant to the grand scheme of things, whatever the case. This was completely out of the ordinary. This wasn't supposed to happen to shepherds. Supernatural encounters with God's messengers and promises of blessings and favor, they just don't come to shepherds. Those are reserved for the prophets and kings and the super spiritual religious leaders of the day. But like much of Jesus' coming, this announcement didn't fit the mold of people's expectations. Ironically, the religious elite didn't get were just kind of conspicuously absent from this birth announcement. Those considered by society as the most holy weren't even given a place in the stable to kneel on holy ground and witness the arrival of the Messiah. The announcement to the shepherds that God has come to be with us in the birth of the Messiah turned the current system on its head. And it reminded people, and it reminds us today, that God's favor is not based on human standards. His favor is on all those who humbly acknowledge their brokenness and accept these gifts of hope, peace, joy, and love that Jesus brings. The angels appeared to shepherds, and then the shepherds received the announcement of the good news, and then they became the message bearers of peace. And three short steps, they came full circle as Jesus' arrival meant a kind of restoration for the role of shepherds. In fact, throughout his teaching, Jesus used shepherds as an example of good things, not bad. And Jesus even went so far as to call himself the good shepherd who loves and cares for his sheep. That restoration of wholeness and oneness with God is the essence of peace. The comforting knowledge that all is well and as it should be brings peace of mind and heart. Jesus' arrival for the shepherds marked the starting place of peace to all those on whom his favor rests, to all those with whom he is present, which includes all of us. Now, the God of peace is truly with us. Peace is not based on class. It's not based on position or occupation, but on his purpose and design to bring good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Glory to God in the highest. The Prince of Peace has come. So on the second Sunday of Advent, let's explore together what that means and looks like throughout history and in our own lives today. So when we go back and look in history as recorded in the Old Testament, when God gave the law to Moses and he set up the roles and duties of the priest to guide the spiritual life of the ancient Jews, he gave them the ultimate blessing to declare upon the people. We know these words, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace." The Hebrew word used in that blessing and throughout the whole Old Testament is the word shalom. And it conveys rich and powerful meaning. So much more than just the absence of fighting or the absence of tension, shalom reflects safety and completeness and wholeness. This is the type of peace brought by God with us. Jesus is the Prince of Shalom, foretold by the prophet Isaiah, where he said, "For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." And his government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen, and then they showed up to declare it when it did. The Jews of Jesus' day wanted a Messiah there to establish political justice against their oppressors. Because after all, they lived under the iron rule of the Roman Empire. And this was not by choice. They were a conquered people and at the mercy of a powerful military empire. But the Jews also understood and they longed for shalom. The concept was foundational to their culture and their spiritual life. This completeness, this wholeness with God are what Jesus brought into our world. It is the peace that calms our souls deeply. It is the calm acceptance that it is well with my soul when my circumstances are falling apart. No matter what swirls and storms around me, this is the peace we celebrate today. And when Jesus returns one day, he will heal all that's been broken and restore God's complete kingdom of shalom. Yes, they'll be absent of war and hatred, but even that type of peace will be an extension of the wholeness that he will establish that day. So near the end of Jesus' life, he spoke these words to his disciples shortly before he was arrested and crucified, where he said, "I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid." John chapter 14, verse 27. Jesus knew his followers were about to experience a crushing blow with his crucifixion. But he had a gift for them that was different from anything in our world. This peace is not given as the world gives. It's not a gift that can be just taken away. Nor is it something that we can muster and create on our own. It is not the absence of pain, hurt, noise, violence, or uncertainty. Peace is a person. Peace is Jesus with us, the Prince of Peace. And his assurance to his disciples was that even in what would appear to be the most hopeless of all possible situations, even with the cross, he would be with them. His peace is his presence with us no matter the circumstances of our life. For Christ himself has brought peace to us, Paul told us in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. As we experience God's presence, we become entwined and inseparable from that peace that is and that he gives us. And Paul went on to say, he united Jews and Gentiles into one people. When in his own body on the cross, he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. He did this by ending the system of law with its commandments and regulations. He made peace between the Jews and Gentiles by creating in himself one new people from two groups. Together as one body, Christ reconciled both groups of God by means of his death on the cross. And our hostility toward each other was put to death. I mean, what kind of hostility did the Jews and the Gentiles have back in the first century? Well, if you were a Jew, you weren't allowed to even shake the hand of a Gentile. You did not allow a Gentile into your house. You didn't even talk to Gentiles unless you absolutely had to. You didn't touch them because you'd become unclean. They were as far from you as you possibly could. You walked on the other side of the street, you saw a Gentile. And God brought those two groups together. The power of God's peace. God with us brings peace between us and God. But he also brings peace among people because we're all drawn together and united in God through Jesus. This is the perfect picture of shalom, of wholeness and safety and the restoration of all peoples as one people. Jesus' peace is not simply that we agree to disagree. It is that in him we are now made one. In wholeness, we are reconciled to God and to others in Jesus. And so peace transforms us, and it calms our storms. And so how peaceful right now is your Christmas season? If we're honest, we might describe our life right now as just crazy busy. Hectic and frantic would be words we'd probably choose to use at this time of year, or maybe it might be how we describe all year round for us. And maybe it's an overloaded schedule that robs you of peace. Or maybe it's something more, relational conflict, pressure at work, a lost job, an illness, you name it. For many of us, peace sounds like a long way away. A good idea, a nice thought for the holidays, something we long for if we could only feel the peace of God with us. And if this is where you find yourself today, let me encourage you that Jesus shows up when the storms of life threaten our peace and our hope and our joy. He's there with us when love seems lost and the way forward is just completely unclear. But yes, even the disciples who lived with Jesus every day, they even had a hard time grasping this. And you remember this story of the disciples in the boat on the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus is taking a nap. I mean, that must have been one bad storm on the water that day to make even the disciples so afraid. After all, they were fishermen, and this was their regular sea. Yet as their boat took on water, they were terrified. And as those waves rose and the wind howled, somehow Jesus slept through it all. Finally, the disciples shook him awake, shouting, "Don't you even care what's happening to us?" Mark recorded it like this, where it says, "But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him up, shouting, 'Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?' When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, 'Silence, be still.' And suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm." With just a command for peace from Jesus, the storm subsided. The sea that had been throwing waves into the boat became calm. And the disciples were in awe for very good reason. And those disciples sure sound a lot like us, don't they? I mean, when things aren't looking good for us, we're often quick to cry out, "God, don't you even care what I'm going through?" We think he's not paying attention or doesn't realize the magnitude of our situation. And then we add to the spiral of our own storm. But in reality, God is there. He is God with us, always present. And he knows all that swirls around us and within us. And he sees the waves and winds of our circumstances. The power of his peace, it isn't diminished by our storms. We can allow it to fill our hearts with calm and courage as we turn to him, giving our request to him in prayer and focusing on his faithfulness. God is with us, and he will never leave us. He will never fail. It is the presence of peace that we celebrate on our journey toward Christmas. And it's this presence of peace that we can access and we can put into practice if we make the choice in the midst of our chaos. Well, how? Well, when we go to God through prayer, he changes us inside. God's peace is able to bring a powerful transformation in our spirit. No matter what we're anxious or worried about, we can bring our needs and requests to God. Paul described the process like this in Philippians 4, 6, and 7. "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you'll experience God's peace, his shalom, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus." And so as we choose to talk to him and give him thanks, God's peace, it rises up within us and it guards our thoughts and our emotions. And this is a miraculous peace, One that transcends all understanding. It just doesn't make sense in the circumstances and the fear that we're facing. It wouldn't naturally exist in the midst of our struggles. But this is God that we're dealing with. This is the Prince of Peace, the giver of shalom, the giver of His Spirit of peace. And so when we choose to come close to Him, and when we go to worship Him like those shepherds did, and we connect with Him, and He transforms us and He changes our perspective. And no matter how bad the storm swirls around us and windeth in us, He can calm it, or He can carry us through it. So let me encourage you in this second week of Advent to look for Him. Even when those winds blow and the storms swirl, you may find Him as a babe lying in a manger, or you might find Him as a carpenter's son asleep in the boat. It may even initially seem to you, as it did to the disciples, that He doesn't care. But in the midst of whatever life holds this week, take those things to Him and remember that Jesus comes in power as the Prince of Peace, always with us, restoring us to God through wholeness and comfort. May He be your peace this week. May He guard your heart and your soul with His peace, filling your spirit with the wholeness of shalom and ruling as the Prince of Peace in your heart. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, peace is a challenging subject when you don't feel peace in the moment. Peace is a challenging subject when all you feel is chaos, and things are out of control, and there's nothing I can do about it. This peace that You give us, it's not something we can just muster up on our own. It's not something we can just convince our heart to accept or believe from our mind that it's a thing. It's a gift from You, God. It is a supernatural, completely beyond any understanding and logic. It is something that You do in us as we turn to You and just surrender what we're going through. And this peace wells up inside of us. Doesn't mean that the circumstances change. It doesn't mean that all of a sudden everything is good. But all of a sudden, we just know that You've got us. God, we thank You for that kind of peace, the power of that kind of peace in the worst storms that can possibly happen in our life. And so while this Advent season is a joyous season for many people, still there are some that find Christmas to just be a very challenging time. And so I lift up to You, God, anyone who's getting together with family means anticipating a whole lot of stress rather than a time of smiles and good memories. God, I lift up to You anyone whose holiday traditions highlight not who is there, but who's missing. And I know that peace can often be hard to find. And so I pray for anyone who needs the Prince of Peace to show up in a powerful way today. I pray for anyone who's struggling to feel the presence of God with us, Emmanuel. Holy Spirit, I pray that You would come down near to the brokenhearted and to the person whose home or workplace is more of a battlefield than it is a peaceful place. May the peace of God that transcends all understanding become a very real reality in our life. God, may we choose worship over worrying. May we choose thankfulness over the tension that grips our hearts. And may Your healing presence calm whatever storm we're going through. And until the time that you do, may we trust that your presence will carry us through it. We pray this all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.